This week has been really good. I think the word that I would use, and not lightly at all, but is humbled. And I mean that because for years I kept to myself. Brother Peacock would come up and preach for us at our church, and we valued our time. We'd have him over to the house, and he'd sit and help me and my family, and then he'd go back. And we'd run another year, and the only meetings we'd go to is if we knew Brother Peacock was within driving distance, then we'd show up. Outside of that, we stayed to ourselves. And I have been very encouraged this week to see all these other preachers that he's known all over the country, and to sit there and just get fed and worked on and preached at, and it has been such a blessing, man. I have needed it. I'm going to get right in this morning because I'm going to do my best to let you go and not take too much of your time. But I would like to go, if we could, to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 15, verse number 1, the Bible says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words, see that, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I'd like to ask Brother Josh Manning, would you please ask the Lord to bless the preaching, brother?
Amen.
My wife and I were talking, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and the conclusion was, it's just going to take us a little while to figure out what's been happening this week. A lot's been happening. The preaching has been phenomenal. Almost everything in my mindset, thinking about this message, almost everything's already been preached on. It's been rough at times. It's been really, really good. Been a strange balance to how this has all gone. It's just a strange year. And what I want is I want to leave here and I want some fruit to come in my life later from what has happened here this week. It's an amazing time to be a born-again Christian. It's an exciting time to be saved. I mean, it's just, you never know what's going to be next, you know? What I'm worried about is I'm worried about me 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road should the Lord tarry. I'm worried about me producing the right fruit in my life. And I don't know how you feel, but I'll tell you exactly how I feel. I have a hard time producing fruit. I get very frustrated. And I'm not talking about frustrated with everybody else. That goes without saying. I get frustrated with me. Because there's certain things I would really like to see in my life. There's things that God puts on my radar that I know are not right about me. I know I need to change certain things. I know I need to be certain things. And I realize I'm not those things. And I try sometimes very hard and many times I'm not even going to get into it, but I could give you examples that went on for years of knowing something needs to be done and even trying to do what I knew needed to be done. I have taken things to the altar and told God, I'm serious. I know. I'm wrong. I'm trying. Help me. And now I'm right back in that thing and I don't change. And I get so frustrated. 20 years ago, I used to think preaching was something. But today I'm not so sure it is what I used to think it was. Excellent message was preached on guarding your pea patch. Real good mindset. What does fruit in my church look like? As a younger preacher, fruit in your church looks like a packed building. It looks like packed aisles. It looks like souls being saved. It looks like bragging rights. So when you walk in, you can be like, they're all saying, that's him. But like you heard in Sunday school, that ain't necessarily fruit that he's talking about in this chapter from that book. I want my preaching to be something that it's not today. And it's probably not going to be tomorrow. But I hope someday that God will allow me to get somewhere that I believe God would have for me to get. If you think about fruit and what it is that produces fruit, there's a whole lot of things working against every one of us. Realize naturally we all produce fruit. Everybody in this room is producing some kind of fruit this morning. And the fruit that you produce, it probably has lots of different factors to it. Genetics, culture, aptitudes. A lot of different things go into who we are and what it is that is being produced in our life and why it is we struggle with certain things more than other things. It's a difficult thing to just put your finger on. How many of you as teenagers remember criticizing your parents half to death? And saying, I'm never going to be like that. And now I'm raising teenagers and I am giving the Reagan lecture. You're a product of your environment. You know what's been weird about this week? We come from a whole year of a really weird, whacked out, crazy environment. And we came in here and we sat down in an environment that by His direction took us totally away from what we've been stuck in all year long. And now all of a sudden we're all going, how do we process what's happening and what is happening? And this is like a really good, different. The meeting this year is just different than last year. This is just... You got pulled out of your environment. And now all of a sudden there's a different environment around us. And let me just fit this in here because I didn't, for the sake of time, say this beforehand. This church has done more this week for the eternal than you probably will ever know until we get there. Amen. You set a great environment. You give up your pastor regularly. At least on your Wednesday nights. On a regular basis. So he can go around the country and try to help some of us stay in it and keep producing fruit for Jesus Christ. And that is fruit to your account. I think some of the most overlooked people in the room are the preacher's wives. We've been preaching at preachers all week and sometimes their wives feel invisible. She gives up her husband so he can come help some of us who think it's all about us all the time. We appreciate your sacrifice. Amen. And by the way, I listened to your ladies' thing on sermon audio. A little birdie told me it was going to be there. And I'm a man and it was a ladies' thing. And I thought, man. She beat me up. She had me crying. Knows more about ministry than most of us, all of us preachers probably do. and the environment you've set. We all know what Brother Peacock's done for us and the environment he's tried to set. And this week has just been unbelievable. I want the right environment around me. I'll say this week, and forgive me if I'm not all jacked up this morning, but I'm just not, so I'm not going to pretend to be. Sometimes it happens in the process, I don't know, whatever. I'll say this week, I think I found my crowd. It's a blessing to be around you guys. It's a blessing to sit back there and hear some of you guys preach. It's a blessing to know that I'm not all alone. And I appreciate good Bible-believing preachers that stay by the stuff, try to do their job, try to minister to their people, try to hold it together, try not to quit when everybody else, it feels like, and the devil tells you it's not, but everybody else is quitting. Sure is a blessing to be around some good guys that are trying the best they know how to produce some fruit. I want to show you three things, and I'm going to move quick this morning. How am I going to get this done? How am I going to make it happen? Because the more I try, sometimes the worse it gets. I want you to see that there's one source, there's an exclusive source that will bring forth the fruit in our lives. The exclusive source is seen in verse number one. I am the true vine. There is one source that I have to be in if real fruit is ever going to come in my Christian life. I can intellectually know what needs to be produced. I can intellectually read my Bible and I can see and quote to you the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. I can physically begin to put on some of the things that I know I'm supposed to put on. But nothing that I just said is true fruit. Because true fruit has to come from a source other than my mind, other than my flesh, other than my desire to make something happen in me or in my life. It's got to be something deeper. It's got to be something more real. It's got to come from a source that is not pretend, that is not fake, that is not me trying to make something happen that isn't really happening. There's a true vine. And that word, that saying, the way that's set up, tells us there's false vines. And there are plenty of false vines. If you get yourself grafted into the wrong vine, you're going to produce the wrong fruit. Christians may walk by and look at you and go, look at all the fruit on that, but it's that plastic stuff my grandma always had on the table. Them grapes that are falling over out of the little vase in the middle. Yeah, when I was a kid, I tried eating them for fun. They'd pop off and you could pop them back on. I think that's what a lot of us really are. And I don't think it's always because we're hypocrites. Yeah, I still do believe the King James Bible. And I just said, I don't think we're all hypocrites, even when we're sort of faking what we know we're supposed to be doing, but it's not really coming from the right source, but we know because we're trying and we're trying to figure out how to make it happen, but we're not making it happen. I don't think it's always because we're hypocrites. I think it's because sometimes we lack the ability to put together the big picture and to understand, how do I get this done? How do I become that gracious older preacher? Was it Brother Wheeler? What a message. Amen. Amen. There was nothing fake or pretend about anything that man said. That came from his life. That came from a lot of alone time with him and God. That came from a lot of grief. Now, I think he said something about, to the tune of, or at least this is what I got. It'd be great if some younger preachers with their zeal could meet up earlier in their life with grace. Did I get something like that? What a concept. Now, for a younger preacher, I soak that kind of stuff up. I catch it. Do I know how to do it? I'm not so sure. But I got it right now. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how do I do this? Because there's just some things you cannot pretend to be. And if you do, the gray hair in your church, the bald head in your church, they sit back and they go, that's so cute, he's trying. You don't have to be a police officer to be able to see fake and real. Not all the time. There's a true vine. And that vine, let's be really deep, is Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the true vine, and now look at this, and my Father is the husbandman. Alright? So far, I'm good. I'm right in my, I am no Dr. Walker. Somebody said he was 47 this week. I said, no. It's not because he looks old. It's because he is an old soul. Something's real there. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is right on my intellectual level. Jesus is the true vine. That's the source. Now, his Father is the husbandman. You know what we all need? We all need a good father. And the guys that I train with, forgive me, I'm not trying to be carnal and silly about this, but the guys that I train with, I was very interested, and I had this sneaking suspicion. I would love to see real studies done on it. I got a conversation going one day with the guys about their dads. You know what I found out? Almost every guy that I train with has daddy issues. A couple of them have a dad who early got him training and encouraged him and taught him, and they really want to make their dad proud, so they'll do anything it takes, even if that means absolutely kill you, and refuse to quit even when you're breaking their arm, putting them to sleep, and they refuse to quit because I am not going to make that old man ashamed of his kid. Just a couple nowadays. Most of them are angry because they were hurt by their dad. The first time in your Bible the word love shows up, you all know, it's the love of a father for his son. So Jesus Christ is the true vine. You want to produce the right kind of fruit, you better get yourself embedded into the right vine. That means if you're not saved this morning, you've got to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because not only, if we're talking, forget fruit, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire according to that Bible. But those of us that are saved, we're in that vine, and now there's something that's supposed to naturally happen from being placed into the vine. Something that's naturally supposed to come is fruit in my Christian life. It's supposed to flow out of me. It's supposed to be a natural byproduct of my salvation. And beyond that, my Heavenly Father, who loves His Son very, very dearly. And can it be? How could that happen? He loves that Son, and what He wants is you in His Son, and then He comes through His vineyard, and He checks on the fruit that's in our life. So now I get the concept. I'm supposed to be in the right vine. It's an exclusive vine. There's no other options. And beyond that, the vine that I'm in has a Father. His name is God the Father. And the vine I'm in is Jesus Christ. And the Father comes walking through the vineyard and He's looking to see what fruit Mike's producing. You know what my problem is? Most of my Christian life, I've been more worried about what everybody else thinks of the fruit I'm producing. The problem with my Christian life, with my ministry, has been I've been more worried about the fruit the ministry is producing, because as a preacher, inerrantly, naturally, we associate our self-worth and our ego is intricately connected to whether or not our buildings are full, the altars are full, the pats on the back because of the preaching, whether or not we lived up to our own expectations of what is supposed to be being produced. And thereby, we are very discouraged most of the time. You Bible-believing preachers are really, really bad about taking a compliment, and I know because I are one. We don't believe half the time we're doing as good as everybody else thinks we're doing, or we strut and pretend like we think we're doing. Because we're evaluating the fruit a certain way, and God the Father's walking through there, and He's going, there's some fruit there. That branch needs to go, that's no good, but there's some fruit there. I can do something with this. You know what I realize about my Heavenly Father? He wants to see me produce fruit, but He ain't in a rush. I don't like that part. I hate that part. I chafe under that part. Because I am in a rush. I was born in a rush. I've always been in a rush. But God's not in a rush. That fruit has to come with patience. And I don't like that. I want to see my church grow faster. I want to see the people grow faster. And so I'm always trying to produce the fruit that I know needs to be produced. And it's not natural. And since it's not natural, nothing eternal is going on. But what I'm trying to push, I wind up doing damage to the vine because I'm always trying to push the issue. And listen, He helped me tremendously years ago and I've never forgotten it. And it's applied to other things that have happened since then. When I knew certain things I needed to get right, I've been to the altar, like I already mentioned, asking for help, getting it right. And there was a pressure on me to get it right before it was actually the right timing. That sounds wrong, I know. But God was saying, no, for a little while longer, I want you to stay where you are and bear what you're dealing and struggle with what you're struggling with, because the wrestling match you're in is strengthening you, it's challenging you, it's working through you, and I'm watching your bitterness and your anger and your frustration and your hurt, and I'm watching that work in you, and you need to stay there for a little while longer. And the devil shows up and says, look, you know you're supposed to get that right. You shouldn't still be struggling with that. You're supposed to be more spiritual than that. You're the pastor and you need to be getting that done. And you know that needs to happen. What's your problem? And God's never going to bless you. And I'm like, God, I am trying. I'm really trying. God, I said, I'm sorry. God, I got that right. Why is it back again? And Daddy ain't never in a hurry. There's exclusivity to that vine. He knows what He's doing. Number two, there's expulsion connected to the vine. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. You know the dead stuff has to go. There's a lot of dead stuff. I am naturally full of dead stuff. I told another preacher yesterday, I said, I'm sorry, I'm just carnal. I struggle with it, man. I have no problem with envy. It's easy. I have no problem with jealousy. I have no problem at all with anger. I have no issue at all with forget self-restraint, just self-indulgence. It's just easy for me. I have no problem criticizing every single person but me. I have no problem judging everybody that walks by me and sizing everybody up. I never realized I'd do that until I got here 3 years ago and Brother Josh said, why are you sizing me up? I said, what are you talking about, man? I don't do that. He said, you just went. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I probably did. I told her all the time, I said, how come everywhere I go, somebody's trying to start a fight with me? She said, because of the way you look at people. He helped me a ton. So this year I came in and he called me into the back over there and he said, why are you getting that fake smile all the time? I said, look in my eyes, brother, you'll see the truth. The dead stuff's easy. It's easy to preach at dead stuff. It's easy to attack people for their struggles,
for their flesh, for all the dead stuff. But the Father's the one who's got to walk through and say, that's dead, it's got to go. And that part is a little bit easier to get rid of when you know you got to quit something. You know you got to stop something. The hard part is that thing being genuine and good fruit taking its place so it crowds out all the dead stuff and there's no room left for the dead stuff to get back in. That's where I struggle. Because I can clean up. I can come to a meeting like this and go, man, Lord, that's got to go. But I got to produce something to go in its place. One of the guys I was training with, Big Mike, monster. He's just huge. Over 300 pounds, over 6 foot tall. Come over and he sat down next to me the other day and he said, hey, did you ever hear such and such a song? And I said, no, brother, I don't listen to contemporary Christian music. He's not even in church. He might be saved, might not be. It's a real good song. I said, oh, no, I haven't heard it. I'll send it to you. Appreciate it. Nice binding. You know what I'm talking about? Who was that? That was you, brother. It wasn't yesterday. Same concept. And he said, you know, I used to listen to other music, but I'm listening more and more to the Christian stuff. What do you think about that? Because I know some of that music is wrong. I said, you know what's helped me? I forget about listening to what music I should or shouldn't listen to. I need to get the old music out. I said, it feels like the more that I try to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that I try to put the right stuff in, I kind of lose my interest for the other stuff. And then it's no longer this big struggle all the time to not do what I shouldn't do because I just don't really want to do it anymore. So it's just not that big of a deal. He said, man, I'd like to talk to you some more. He and my coach, the owner of the gym, and two other guys showed up on Sunday morning.
Amen.
They wouldn't have showed up if I'd have said,
amen.
That ain't the right kind of music. The dead stuff's got to go, but something's got to come in its place. Now, here's the hard part. Watch this. Verse 2, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That part hurts. Because you know what that just said? I know how to deal with all the dead stuff in church. I know how to deal with all the dead stuff in your life. But when I come and I show up and I see you're trying, I see you're doing better than you used to do, I see the progress you've made, I go, look at the fruit. I know what this one needs. And then he comes over and you're alive, right? You're producing fruit. And he pulls this piece out and he cuts it off. And you go, why'd you do that? Don't you see that I've been trying? Don't you see that I'm finally getting somewhere? Don't you see I'm struggling? And all of a sudden some old bat comes along and just says or does something so nasty. I've been trying to forgive. I've been working hard on taking the insults. I've been working hard on getting over that. And right when I make progress, somebody has to say something so stupid every time. And they don't ever seem to struggle with anything. While I'm breaking my neck trying to get something done, God seems to humiliate me more. Right when the ministry starts getting some traction and moving the right direction, all of a sudden somebody gets mad about the dumbest thing in the world and they take off. And it's like, two new couples in, three new couples out. Are we better or worse off? When you're judging it from the perspective of how you think fruit is supposed to be produced. But when I look at it from what God's trying to do in my life, He's saying, you're producing fruit, so I'm going to show you a little bit more about that fruit. And when I trim that good thing back, better things can come.
And a lot of Christians get real frustrated with the Lord, with the ministry, in your marriage, with your children. Because when you're trying to do right, you get cut back. And then our knee-jerk reaction is it's always the devil. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was your Heavenly Father. The real test of a man's character is not by how he handles a promotion, but by how he handles a demotion. I will never forget years ago, like a lot of years ago now, I'm not sure exactly, a little less than 20 probably. I went to take a church in Illinois. Before I went, Pastor Peacock mentioned that I'd been in Brother Lentz's church. I went to Brother Lentz and I told him about the situation. He said, don't. Don't. He said, those country folk are going to chew you up and spit you out. And I thought, now you got to understand, what Brother Wheeler preached about young guys and older guys, and I know some of the younger guys, I know how you felt. And I don't mean that condescendingly whatsoever. I know how you felt. Man don't know nothing till he's 40. I got the wisdom of the ages right here in my hand, brother, and the Holy Ghost of God teaching me. He said, don't go. Well, I prayed about it. And we don't follow a man. We follow God. No matter what we see all the way through the Bible, Old and New Testament. Because we're Bible believers, we don't follow what we see in the Bible all the way through the Bible, Old and New Testament. Side note real quick. Younger preachers take a verse from Proverbs out of context. They don't pay any attention at all to the context. And they say, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. I'll call Brother Peacock when I want to know how to preach. And I'll call Brother So-and-so when I want to know how to grow a church. And I'll call Brother So-and-so when I want to know whether or not I should preach on politics. And I'll call Brother So-and-so, and what he's saying is, I will find the preacher to fit my already preconceived notion, my agenda, the guy that's going to tell me what I want to hear, so I can produce the fruit I want to produce. I'm not going to let an older preacher get to know me well enough where he can say, listen, you really want to know? It's a cop-out. Not worried about real fruit because that might cut me. That might mean I have to get cut back. That might mean I may not be allowed to preach to my ego every time I get in the pulpit when I'm dying to let my ego loose. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm working on the gracious thing. I told you, some fruit don't come real easy. Everybody says he's gracious. He's extremely gracious. The extent of my graciousness so far, in honesty, I can pretend, but the real graciousness is right here. That was gracious. But I do remember an older preacher showing me some grace. One of these days I'm going to produce it. Because I took the church, even though Brother Lent said, don't do it. Boy, was he a prophet. I shall spare you the details. Everything was wrong, including my wife, but me. Because I was so young, it was always like everybody was the devil getting in my way of being Billy Sunday. And I remember after 3 months of the loudest silent treatment of my life, he did not speak to me. I called him up, falling apart. He said, what's up, boy? You know what he never said? I told you. See, everybody remembers one thing about Brother Litz, but there were some things going on in his life that made him who he is, and it wasn't jumping pulpits, beating the back wall out of somebody's church. There's birdies all over this place bringing messages. That's cool stuff when you're a young preacher. That's what gets you to follow a guy like that. Because it's nice to know real men love Jesus Christ and produce fruits like peace and joy and love and faithfulness and graciousness. It's nice to know they're real men. But that wasn't the stuff. And he helped me. I found out later that the church he recommended me to go to, when he could have, I'm sure, if he'd have been like some of us, been critical of the other preacher. He called that other preacher and he said, "Watch out for that kid." Shortly thereafter, he passed away. I sat in that church for 3 years, more backslidden than I've ever been in my life. I was mad at her, and I was mad at my oldest daughter because she was born. And I loved her. She was my world. And she was my world. But you know why I was mad at them? Because I can't quit. And the reason I can't quit is because she met me at Bible college. It wasn't fair to her. Now I brought a little girl into a wicked, cold, cruel world. I was so messed up in my head and so full of bitterness and hate. I mean, oh, you don't. I'll tell you, the dead stuff's easy for me. And I remember holding that little girl thinking it wasn't fair to her for me to bring her into this mess. And I'd read my Bible every day because somebody had drilled into my head a love for my Bible. And I knew it was literally life support. It was literally spiritual life support. My wife can attest to it. She knew how backslidden I was. I'd read my Bible, wouldn't pray. But I'd read my Bible, and I'd go to church. And after church, I'd be like, "Let's go. Let's go to the young marrieds." Heck no. I'm not the common with none of those guys, man. They're all from Ohio anyways. I'm from Michigan. I don't want to be around them. Sorry, brother. Wouldn't go to nothing. Some preacher walked up to me in the lobby. He's an evangelist out of the church, and he said, "Brother, are you interested in preaching in the jails?" And my heart and my brain literally screamed, "No!" You know what came out of my mouth? Yeah. Because my preacher had said, "When you get there, do whatever the man lets you to do. Shut your mouth and watch what he does. And just shut up and watch what he does and sit there until God does something with you. Because staying in the vine will eventually produce the right fruit." I'd walk into the jails, I'd preach. She'd sit in the car in the parking lot with the baby, and I'd get in the pulpit there, or the front of the thing there, and I'd preach. And I'd get done literally. Forgive me for this. You don't have to. Judge me if you want. I don't care. I would go grab an outline from the Blue Ridge Bible Institute that I had to do. I would pull one out of the file, look it over, I'd throw it in my Bible, I'd walk in the jail, I would preach. And I would try to get out that door as quick as I could. And it was unbelievable. Somebody, "Hey man, can I talk to you?" "Yeah, what?" "I need to get saved." I'd get in the car, she'd go, "How'd it go?" I'd go, "You guys got saved." "Oh, that's great, honey, praise the Lord." "Yep. We got time to make it home, or you got to go straight back to church." No joke. You know what I couldn't believe? Because the preacher asked me last week, he said, "Brother, what got you right?" And I had to stop and think about it because I said, "I don't know." You know what it was? I could not believe that my Heavenly Father was using me and was merciful to me in spite of what I knew myself to be at that moment. Because I didn't expect a father to overlook me. I was waiting. I would get in my car and I was literally waiting to get T-boned when I pulled out. Now, I'm not kidding you. I would get on the highway and I would double check my blind spot twice. Because I was literally waiting. No, I wasn't smoking crack or cheating on my wife or anything like that. But I was so backslidden and so faking it and so angry and so full of hate, I used to say, I hate Christians. I'm sorry if I'm being too real with you. I'm just telling you, it's not super easy to produce the fruit we got to produce. How does it get done? And then when it starts happening, he walks up and goes, my last point, and I got to get out of your way. I want you to see something. Look at verse 4. Exclusivity of the vine. Only Jesus Christ can do it. Expulsion of the vine. He's going to cut you back and work on you. But the effectiveness of the vine. Abide in me, and I in you. Watch it. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branch. You know what the branches are doing on the vine? Look at that branch. Oh, he's got a bigger church than me because he's got more people in his area. Because we all know it's not because he can preach, because he can't preach. Oh, he's just got some good folks in his church. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. Because I'm not producing the fruit. You're not producing the fruit. It's not about us anyways. It's about the vine. He's the one that produces the fruit. I'm the vine. What do? Go in and hang out. I will do what I want to do in your life when I want to do it. I'll produce the fruit I want to produce in your church. I'll work in your marriage. I'll get out your kids. I'll just stick with me and let me do my job. It'll flow through. And he'll get to every branch in here what he wants to get to it. And then he'll produce in it what he wants to produce. Light bulb moment. I all of a sudden got happy with my church. Coronavirus or not. People staying home or not. Because it isn't really my problem. He's effective. He produces it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He repeats it. Every man that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, watch it, much fruit. It's a process of time. If I'll stick with Jesus Christ, burrow in, do my job, draw closer, walk with Him, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Right? And I could get into all the doctrinal stuff, you know all that stuff. That book is the only way you can really judge whether or not you're abiding in Jesus Christ. Because a lot of people talk about Him. And then go hit the bong. A lot of people. But that word, abiding in you, working on you, staying after you, wearing on you, with time, all of a sudden, fruit. And you know what God's doing here, in this place? I hope I'm not overstepping. God help me. I want to say it right. My guess is, a long time abiding in the branch. I made a big mistake one time, and I'll never do it again, of referring to Him as the big dog. And He said, if I'm the big dog, why am I talking to you?
I never forgot that. You know what he's been doing for years? He's been going to us. Debt, stress, discontented. Some of us that nobody else wanted anything to do with because we didn't fit into the mold, we didn't fit into the clique, we didn't fit into the club. We said, will you please come help us? Because nobody really seems to care right now. He says goodbye. He loves her. I don't say that I know, you know, I've got an inside scoop. I just know he loves her. And he says goodbye. And he loves you, his church. We other preachers can't forget that he has a church that have been with him for years. He's our pastor, but there's a different sense there than there is here. He says goodbye. And he comes to help us. And now we all show up and it's like, I don't know why I like you. Yeah, I looked at you, Josh. Brother Jeremy and I are real close right now. He used to hate me and I used to hate him. We never even talked to each other. We just hate each other. He called me one time. He's like, well, the old man said that you're a good guy. I said, yeah, he's super gracious. He said the same about you. I gotta stop. You know what it is? It's more fruit. It's much fruit. Now God's doing something and God's letting me have some friends and get to know some other preachers and realize it's not all about me. Now He's working other places and there's guys out there that can preach and they're a blessing and they're trying and much fruit. I really am going to pray and I hope some of you other preachers will join me in praying and they get that thing up.
Amen.
No, I'm just sick of being packed in here. This is annoying. Because God's doing something in these last days. And fellas, not just fellas, pastors' wives, church members, we've got to stay burrowed in to the vine. Because things change, time wears on, that distance is created. I don't know where Brother Sam is, but that distance naturally can happen. Other things dim the light. Real good, man. And the only way we're going to produce the fruit that Jesus Christ wants us to produce, whether we like what's being produced or not, is by staying burrowed into that vine.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm done.
Amen.